Welcome to the Healing with Meg podcast. We will be talking all things acne, skin health, hormonal health, and so much more. The mission is women's optimal health. I'll be doing a mix of solo episodes, Q&A sessions, along with having experts, doctors, coaches, estheticians, dermatologists, deep diving into women's health with a focus on skin issues. Let's dive right into the episode. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the truth about developing unshakable self-confidence and why acne can be a catalyst for growth. And also, I'll be doing some Q&As at the end too. So when it comes to self-confidence, I am the perfect person to talk about this because, not because I'm a confident person, because quite the opposite. I have always struggled with my confidence, and I know a lot of people will resonate with this. I don't know why exactly, but from a young age, I have just felt so deeply insecure and like I'm just not good enough in any way, and I've really struggled to speak to people, to communicate to people. Had social anxiety and just always struggled with feeling like my opinion is worthy of being heard, or I don't know, that I guess that I'm worth anything. And this has always been reflected back to me by the people I've been around. So like people at school, you know, at school I was always a kind of, I would say, a wallflower. I had friends, but I always kind of felt like on the outskirts, and because I myself didn't feel that I was worthy or that I was good enough in any way, that I maybe didn't respect myself so much, people would always reflect that back to me. So like I had friends who, not necessarily, I was never bullied, I would say, but like I don't think I was treated great, and I was pretty much ignored a lot and just felt very overlooked in many different ways. I had like a friend when I was really, really young, you know, I had a friend at school, and she was kind of manipulative towards me, and she didn't respect me. She really reflected, with hindsight, I can see all this now. At the time, I didn't really realize what was going on. But because I was so insecure, and she wasn't, she was pretty confident in herself, she would kind of treat me like crap, basically. And I would just kind of accept that because I was, I don't know, I guess I was happy to be her friend. And it was only when I moved on from school and I went to college, and I started to realize I don't want to be treated like crap. You know, I want to have friends who treat me better than that. So yeah, I am a great person to talk to about this, because I think some people are, for some reason, just they are naturally confident in themselves. And for some people, it can be bordering on arrogance. You know, it depends where someone was brought up, the kind of the lifestyle that they had, you know, their family and things like that. Some people are just born into tremendous privilege where they have a lot of money and I want to say affluence, and just, you know, the whole family is so confident in themselves and they feel intelligent and they just, they know their worth, and that could be a good thing, that could be a bad thing, or neutral. But I never felt that way. And obviously, acne just makes everything worse when it comes to self-confidence, because it reinforces that you're not good enough because of all the stigma around it, and, you know, the misconceptions around acne. It just kind of reinforces that, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not going to be worthy of a relationship, or things like that. What is self-confidence? What does it mean to have self-confidence? To me, having self-confidence is, it's not arrogance, it's not being full of yourself. Self-confidence is a genuine feeling of feeling sturdy and strong in yourself and feeling like you are capable and that you are resilient. And self-confidence is something that you build up over time. It's not just something that magically appears overnight. It's something that you build up to. And let's think about a couple of the most confident people. When we think of self-confident people, a couple of people that come to mind, whether you like them or not, I mean, I don't particularly like them, but the truth is they are confident. So Boris Johnson, Donald Trump, these two men are so confident in themselves. Let's look at Donald Trump. He is so confident in himself that he was a talk show host. He was on The Apprentice. He was a businessman, and somehow he ended up being a president. And whether you think that's right or not, that's not really applicable to this, what we're talking about here. We're talking about confidence. He was so confident in himself. He didn't have any self-doubt. There was no self-doubt. There was no self-reflection. He ended up becoming the president. And it's similar with Boris Johnson. He was so confident in himself, and I mean, a lot of the UK think that he's a complete buffoon, but yet he is the leader of the country. What I have came to realise, and what I think is comical, is that there are so many people, I mean, me and you right here, we're probably doubting ourselves and feeling a lack of confidence, feeling like we're not good enough, or we're not clever enough, or we don't know enough. And then there's Boris Johnson and Donald Trump, who somehow became world leaders. I mean, do they deserve it? I don't know. But they did, because they have this inner confidence. So why is it that me and you sat here? I am going to assume that you are a good person, you are compassionate, you maybe are sensitive, but I'm going to assume that you are a good person. I also class myself as a decent person. I have good intentions for the world. I have a lot of compassion. I'm sensitive. I am sitting here, you know, and I can get into a place of doubting myself and not feeling clever enough. What I think is that often all the wrong people are incredibly confident. That's not always the case, but often it's the people who don't necessarily deserve to be in places of power, positions of power, who end up being there just because they're ruthlessly confident. And I want you and me, I want more of us as women or whoever's listening to this podcast, I want us with good hearts and good intentions. I'm not saying that those world leaders don't have good intentions. I'm just saying I think we should be way more confident in ourselves and develop a lot more resilience and confidence and just be a lot more daring in our opinion and our putting ourselves across to other people and just in life being more self-confidence. Because, I mean, if Donald Trump can end up being a world leader, I mean, me and you can do some pretty amazing things, because I am sure that you are intelligent and you have some kind of talent or skill, whether you're compassionate or whatever it is that you are good at. I know that you have something to offer to the world. And regardless of whether you have acne or not, don't let that stop you. You have something to offer the world. You deserve to have all the confidence that Boris Johnson and Donald Trump has, okay? Like I said, I think sometimes all the wrong people have a ridiculous amount of undeserved confidence, and it just is what it is, and they are the people who end up being successful and powerful leaders. So I kind of went off on a tangent there, but my point is that everyone deserves to be confident. You just have to build it up within yourself. So here are two tips to help you develop confidence, because as I said before, it's not something you're going to go to sleep and say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be confident. I'm not really a big fan of faking it and faking this confidence, because I have tried it. It doesn't feel good. Maybe it works for you. I don't know. If it works for you, then that's great. But for me, it never worked because it didn't feel genuine. It felt fake AF. So, first of all, a way to develop confidence is to push yourself out of your comfort zone a small amount every day. This helps you build respect for yourself, and it helps you to build that self-esteem because you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. And if you do it just a tiny amount every day, let me give you an example. So, okay, when I first started my Instagram account a few years ago, I didn't feel confident. I was scared to put myself out there. I was terrified to put myself out there without makeup on because my skin was, you know, really not doing great at that point. So I just decided I was gonna do it. I wasn't gonna tell anyone I knew about this account, this Instagram account. I was gonna do it. And I started sharing photos of myself little by little. And now I post every day. It doesn't, you know, posting on Instagram doesn't bother me at all. I feel fully confident in that. And that's all because a few years ago, I decided to push myself out of my comfort zone. I decided to show my face on the internet. I just decided to do that really small thing, and it's exponentially over time boosted my confidence because now I don't even think twice about posting. Now I'm just, it's just a part of my everyday. And also, the second tip I would say about developing confidence is, this is important, so get clear on what you want out of life and where you are headed. So have a personal mission. When you're on a mission, your life purpose, your dharma, whatever you want to call it, and you commit to yourself, the confidence comes naturally over time. So once you have this really strong personal mission that's bigger than you, it takes you out of this me, 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 worrying about what other people are thinking of me kind of paradigm. And you start to think, well, this is so much bigger than me. This is not actually about me. This is about the people I'm serving. Or, so let me give you another example. So with me, instead of me thinking, oh, okay, this Instagram page is all about me and I'm so scared of what people are gonna think of me for showing my face, you know, with my acne. Instead of thinking of it in that way, it's like, well, why do I have this account in the first place? Like, why did I make this Instagram account? I knew I wanted to be a leader in some way. I knew I wanted to help in some way. And I knew I wanted to share my journey. And I knew by doing that, that was going to help other people. So when I kind of turned it around and like now my account 100% is about providing help and providing tips and helping people to think about chronic illness differently, it's not actually about me. My account isn't about me now. It's about my bigger personal mission, which is women's optimal health and getting women back in touch with their bodies and being as healthy as possible and feeling as good as they possibly can. Because for so long, women have felt crap, just in so many different ways, burnt out, tired, had hormonal issues, all these different issues for so many years. So that's my mission. So that's my mission for my account. So that's really helpful because it means that it's so much bigger than me and it's not just about me. Like I'm not there just posting pictures of myself and like needing validation. That's just not what it's about. So get clear on your life mission, your life purpose, whatever that is, whether it's being a mother, whether it's being a role model for someone, whether it's being a teacher, whether it's having this particular career that you want, whatever it is, whether it's being a good husband or a wife, or it literally can be anything, and you will know what feels right to you. You will know what you feel drawn to. But just taking yourself out of your own head and your own kind of, we have this thing where we focus on ourselves so much. Just taking yourself out of that is really helpful in developing your self-confidence because your mission is bigger than you. Your purpose is bigger than you. And when you can kind of get over yourself a bit, that's so helpful with just feeling confident and just going out and going for whatever it is that you want to do. And of course, if you make a goal, if you make a promise to yourself, keep that promise, keep that goal. That really, really helps build up confidence within yourself because you start to respect yourself more. So again, like just to give you an example of my Instagram account, I've been posting every single day, at least once, twice. When I first started, it was like sometimes I would do like three times a day, post two, three times a day. I committed to myself because I had a goal of what I wanted to achieve. I wanted to, very strategically, I'll be honest, like I wanted to grow my account. I wanted to grow it to 5,000 and then to 10,000. I was very strategic with that and I stuck with my goal, even though sometimes it's really, really hard because, you know, like on my Instagram, even now, I have like 500 people a week unfollow me. But then I usually have the same or more every week that follow me. Do you see what I mean? So it's like just keeping to that commitment, even though sometimes it can feel hard and it can feel like a hit to the ego or it can feel, it's not easy. Whatever goal you have, it might not necessarily be easy, but if you make a commitment to yourself, just keep on doing it. Keep that commitment to yourself. That really helps with confidence. Okay, so now moving on to the next topic, which is how can acne be a catalyst for growth? So this one is maybe a triggering one for some people because the idea that acne could potentially be a good thing or a blessing may be kind of annoying to hear. But it can be a catalyst for growth if you let it. And so can any illness or any hardship you go through. I'm not talking about everything here. I'm not, you know, there are some things that just can't even look through the lens of it being like a growth. So, though this happened to me because I needed to learn this lesson. That's not always the case. But how can acne be a catalyst for growth? So I've talked about this a few times. With my acne being severe and then mild and then severe and getting better and then getting worse over the years, it has made me into a person that I don't know if I would be this person had it not been for experiencing acne. I don't know if I would be so compassionate and understanding. I don't know that I would feel a lot more sturdy in myself because I've talked before about feeling, I now feel quite sturdy in myself and secure in myself. And it's not to say, because obviously my skin has cleared up, but my skin isn't perfect, you know, like I have wrinkles, I have texture, I still have a lot of scarring going on that's still not healed. So my confidence, my feelings about myself don't depend on how I look. Acne can be a catalyst for growth if you look at it in a certain way. And sometimes it will only be with hindsight that you can understand that helped you to grow. Sometimes you'll be able to look back and understand, oh, okay, that actually did help me. But when you're going through it, it's like definitely not what you want to hear. So on this topic, I would ask yourself, what is acne trying to teach me? What could I potentially, if anything, learn from acne? What is it trying to teach me about myself? And I would journal on that question, or I would just sit quietly and think about that question. How could it be a catalyst for growth for you? I know for me that it's been, as one example, a great growth for me in terms of my health. Because I swear, like if I'd always had clear skin, but I maybe had had other issues, I don't think I'd be as bothered about improving my health. I think because acne is so visible, you want to get rid of it like so quickly. So for me, I feel like that was kind of a good thing because I don't know. I'm trying to think of if I'd have had a different issue. Like, I don't know, maybe if I'd had digestive issues or other issues that aren't visible, would I have put so much effort into getting better? I don't actually know if I would have. But because acne, you know, was on my face, that kind of the vain part of me really wanted it to go super fast. And, you know, that was a big part in me getting to that place of optimal health, or like aiming for optimal health. Okay, so now I am going to do a couple of Q&As. There were quite a lot, so I'm just going to answer a few, and then I'll do another whole episode on your Q&As. Okay. Someone said, why do dermatologists resort to antibiotics for acne instead of trying to figure out the cause? This is not all dermatologists, but I'm assuming you've had experience with a derm that's just given you antibiotics. I believe they do that because they went to school for a long, long time. I think, is it 7 years that they go to school? I don't know, it's a long, long time. They do so much training and they have to abide by specific guidelines of how to treat certain things. And they have to go with how they're taught to treat these things. They can't really go off the book, because when you are a medical professional, you're not actually allowed to go off the book, because if you do, you put yourself in danger legally. You put yourself in danger, because say, for example, if a derm advised you to do, I don't know, let's just say a parasite cleanse. That's just the first thing that came to mind. If they recommended you to do that, which is out of protocol, that's not the normal guidelines for a derm. That's not, you know, in the books. If they told you to do that and you went away and did that and you had a really bad result, or like, I don't know, it made your health go really bad and you tried to sue them, or, you know, something like that, because they've gone sort of out of the book, that they are putting themselves in danger. So obviously their reputation, their credibility is really important, and they kind of have to go with what they've been taught to do. I would love to see dermatologists be a bit more holistic, but I totally understand why they do what they do. So that's why they haven't been taught. They know so much, like dermatologists know so much, and they're incredible. But yeah, when we're talking about like chronic acne and figuring out a root cause and looking at certain things like gut health and stuff, it would be great if they could. And I think over the next few decades, the way medical students get taught will kind of catch up to the science, you know, because there is so much science now around the gut and skin axis. It's a tricky one, but that's, I think, why they have to go with what they have been taught. And so, yeah, that is that. Next one. So someone said, how long did it take to see any changes after you started taking probiotics? Okay, so how long did it take to see any changes? Because I've tried a few different probiotics. I tried one probiotic that was kind of a normal probiotic, and then I stopped after a while because it was giving me a lot of digestive issues and making things worse. I think that's probably because it was a cheaper probiotic, and it's not the best if you have SIBO. But if I'm talking about the spore-based probiotics that I love and I always talk about, those ones, I would say probably quite a few weeks. I think what I initially noticed was that it gave me a little bit of constipation when I first started taking the spore ones, which is kind of normal. When you do start taking some probiotics, you can get a little bit of a Herx reaction. So you might get a little bit of digestive discomfort. If that happens, I recommend taking one every other day and just going a bit slower with them, and making sure you're drinking plenty of water as well. Decent filtered water. Any changes, I would say quite a few weeks. I think the ones I take just thrive. They say that it could actually have an impact after a few days of taking them. You might notice differences in your like gut health after a couple days, as in like bowel movements and things like that. But it really depends what you have going on in your body. It really depends. And it depends what probiotics you take as well. Okay, next one. How to handle people who are jealous on us. On us? On you. Okay, so how to handle people who are jealous. Okay, this is interesting because I feel like usually people ask how to handle jealousy, like as being the person who is experiencing the jealousy. But this person is saying how to handle people who are jealous. So I guess it depends who it is. If it's someone close to you, if it's a friend who's displaying that to you. First of all, be a little compassionate because we've all felt jealous. I know I have. We've all felt envious, jealous. When other people have things we don't have, or when other people are doing better, quote unquote, better than we are, you know, we've all felt jealous. So be a bit compassionate. And then I would also say if this is a common thing, like you find that people seem to be acting jealous of you quite a lot, I would actually reflect on your own behavior. And because it makes me wonder, okay, if consistently people are acting really jealous around me, am I being showy offy? Am I being super showy offy? Like, am I the one being a bit of a dick? You know, I like to be completely honest, like with myself. You know, am I the one being a bit of a moron here? Like, am I showing off about something, or do I keep talking about this thing that I know that person doesn't have? If that's not the case, then it is on the other person. They may be going through a period in their life where they're feeling insecure in whatever realm it is, whether they're insecure about their body, the way they look, or maybe they're insecure because their career's not as far as they want it to be, or I also don't know how old you are, so you know, if you were younger, it could be being jealous because someone has better exam grades than you, or someone has a better job than you. It could be so many different things. I know when I was younger, I definitely used to get envy and feelings of insecurity because I always felt like not pretty enough, and I would be jealous of people who were, you know, just naturally like looked like a model. I would be really, that would really get to me when I was younger. And then also like people having a lot more money than me because, you know, my hometown, actually I better not say the name. I get so scared of the internet sometimes, so I won't say where my hometown is. But like my family is like a working class family. So when it came to money, I was always kind of jealous of people that had like people that were born into loads of wealth. Cause I was like, damn, they're so lucky that they were born into so much money. And now obviously I can see that it's not helpful to be like that because actually I'm the person I am because I wasn't born into a ton of money. I could be a totally different person if I had been born into money. But I wasn't. So anyway, back to the question, how to handle people who are jealous of you. If you can, I know this is hard, but if you can, have an honest conversation with them. It's so simple, and it's the thing that people resist the most. But how about you just have an honest conversation with them and say, hey, like, I'm getting some, bad energy, like, around this. Like, I feel like, are you feeling jealous or are you feeling insecure right now? Because I'm getting that feeling from you and I just want to clear anything up. I could be wrong. And just let them know that you are there and like you can talk about it. Because jealousy is such an icky feeling. It's really such an awful feeling. So just have an honest conversation, you know. And if that doesn't really resolve anything, then maybe you need to get new friends. I mean, if people around you are not clapping for you and are not supportive of you and maybe they want to see you fail, maybe it's time to look for some new friends. I don't know. I don't think you should cut people off, but it may be worth finding more people who are kind of in your corner and will clap for you. And when things go well for you, they're clapping for you and they're happy for you. But yeah, honest conversation. Just have an honest conversation with them if you can. Okay, someone else said, the role of face towels in promoting acne. Face towels. I'm assuming you mean maybe like a face towel that you wash your face with, or maybe dry your face with. When it comes to using a towel on your face, I try to use a clean towel every day on my face, because yes, like wet towels can get gross, and you know, they, especially if they start to smell as well. You don't want to be using gross towels on your face. If you can't do that, why don't you just let your face dry naturally and then put on your moisturizer? You know, if you can't use a clean towel every day, just let your face dry and then just use your moisturizer. If you are talking about a face towel in terms of like that you use with your cleanser, just use a new one every day. Just use a new one every day. I know when I used to do oil cleansing, which was the worst thing ever for my skin, I used a new towel every day, a new little face towel every day. So yeah, like that can definitely impact your skin if you're using the same towel for like quite a few days. Especially if you have acne already, because that bacteria just spreads. So yeah, just if you can, just use a new one every day. This is gonna have to be the last one for today, I think. So is there any connection with acne and tree nuts? I break out anytime I eat bigger amounts. Okay, so when people ask me about, is there like any connection between acne and this particular food like nuts? If it's a trigger, anything can be a trigger for acne at this point, anything, any food. So if you notice that you break out more when you have that food, then absolutely, just reduce the amount or eliminate it for a few weeks and just see how your skin does. If your skin gets better and then you bring those like the nuts back in and it gets worse, then you know that's a trigger for you and you just either have to reduce or eliminate that for now. People ask me this question with so many different kinds of foods, and at this point I'm just like, you know what, like any kind of food can trigger acne, because I've heard so many different random foods that trigger it for some people. So if you notice that something is triggering it, just take it as a opportunity to either reduce or eliminate that for a few weeks to make sure it is that what's triggering it. And I will say as well, obviously, if you're working on your gut health, when your gut is in optimal health, most of the time you can pretty much eat any kind of food and you won't have a sensitivity. When your body is in balance, you most of the time won't have bad reactions to certain foods because your body's in balance and your body can cope with a lot of things. But if your gut is off balance and things are not working too great in your body, then it's more likely that you are going to experience food sensitivities and you are going to be triggered with certain foods that you eat. Okay, one more, because this is a really short one. Do you like popping spots? No, I absolutely do not. And I don't recommend that people pop spots or pick their skin at all, because it just leaves scars. It just leaves scars. And I have so much scarring left over from like 15 years of acne that I just, anything I can do to avoid scars, you know. So no, I don't recommend that to anyone. Okay, so if your question wasn't answered in this one, I'm going to do a whole Q&A podcast session very soon. So it will get answered in that one, hopefully. Thank you so much for listening. And it would be amazing if you're listening on Apple, if you could rate and review the podcast. 5-star review, please. That would be amazing. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much for your support on the podcast. I feel like the people who listen to this podcast are my like OGs, the people I like the most, because it's a dedication to listen to a podcast. So thank you so much for being here. If you'd listen to this as well, let me know, tag me on Instagram and I'll share it on my story. Thank you so much, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye, everyone.